So I was recently nominated a couple of weeks ago to be able to hold this first inaugural role as a director on NAVA. Essentially, as a director for any company, the responsibility is to be able to provide strategic guidance and directions for the company, acting primarily through the board as a whole. So NAVA is a very important organisation. It's the National Association for Visual Arts in Australia, and it's been around since 1983. So what my role will be in NAVA is to enjoy a really fine balancing act between the duties and obligations that I have to the NAVA board and then my cultural obligations that I have to the community. So I aim to work with the greater Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander visual arts community to collegially prepare positions and then put those positions to the NAVA board for collective decision-making as a team of 11 directors. So if and when the board approves and delegates those decisions out, then I, alongside our community, can action on them. So it's not necessarily a quick process, but for the immediate term, what we do have is a voice at the table, and NAVA is a really imperative table for us to be sitting this on.
Lovely. So what kind of conversations so far are coming out from the visual community that are concerns that you need to put through to NAVA?
Well, that's a really good question. And outside of NAVA, like, so irrespective of the role that I actually play within NAVA, there's also that greater advocacy role within the community. So I just need to be really careful to not overstep my line of what it is like that can actually be achieved within the confines of NAVA. But outside of NAVA, I attended the First Nations Cultural Summit as a part of the Yirrumbloy Festival down in Melbourne recently. And the conversations that were coming out of the visual arts breakout group were actually happening simultaneously with the First Nations curatorial mob that were over in Venice at the Biennale. So some huge positions for us as Blackfellas in the visual arts community is that we don't have a national advocacy body, and we're in dire straits. We desperately need one. We need to have long-term succession planning. We need to employ cultural safety across our structures and institutions on a local, national and international basis. And that's for us as individuals, but also for objects in collections that are in museums that also need to have cultural safety associated with them. We need to have face-to-face support, and we need to have political, cultural and economic autonomy across our industry. So there's a lack of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander agents and dealers. So we need to be running like targeted programs to train up people in our community so that we can effectively regain control of our own market, essentially, mapping out our terms of engagement that are in accordance to culture and in accordance to our own protocols. So then it's a matter of us, and then it's a matter of other mob coming to work with us, as opposed to us continuously pushing the proverbial uphill, going to work with other people and having to reiterate and re-explain all the time what our actual protocols are in being able to work with us as custodians of culture.
So how is it important for Indigenous Australians to be supported in their creativity?
Well, it's imperative. I mean, as you know, there is no word in any of our hundreds of languages for art, and that's because art is a part of day-to-day life and day-to-day experience. And for me, as a visual arts practitioner, art is a responsibility that I have to be able to practice my culture. So it's not necessarily a choice. It's something that has been passed down to me through old people, and it's the performance of my cultural expression and my cultural sovereignty. So I see that art collectively as Blackfellas, it needs to be supported on so many different bases, but because it is such an integral part of our life, but it's also a $2 billion industry that brings in a hell of a lot of money. You know, it brings in a lot of money, and it brings in a lot of, why do people come to visit Australia? You know, what makes Australia famous overseas? It's everything to do with being Aboriginal. And a lot of it's got to do with the celebration of culture. So if those are the things that the Australian tourism industry is highlighting, and that's what it is that's making people come to visit us and making what Australia is as an image overseas, then that really needs to be supported and endorsed on an independent basis back here so that we can actually be autonomous about it, and that we're not constantly subjugated under these particular kinds of funding cycles and working in these institutions that are paternalistic by nature.
You'll be there for 2 years. Will you be putting programs forward to NAVA?
So my tenure is for 2 years. There will be certain positions and papers that I will be putting forward to NAVA. But as an individual, I can't actually speak to those yet because it's not the National Association of Amala. It's the National Association of Visual Arts. Mm-hmm. And it's one of my primary objectives in the first duration of this role is to be able to ensure that the role is culturally appropriate and representative. And in order for that to happen, we need to be able to make sure that in future, when elections are held, the when the position is, when the role is contested, that it is only the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander visual arts community that gets to be able to vote for their own representatives. There's lots of different things that both myself and the greater community that I've already been consulting with and have just extensive experience in throughout my own practice, in terms of different ideas and positions that we'd like to be able to put forward to the board. But until such time that those ideas are put to the board and that they're approved, they can't be actioned on in the name of NAVA. But like I was saying, in terms of the immediate need for our community is to be able to start to get together on a national basis. So irrespective of whether this would happen within NAVA or outside of it, there is a huge amount of talk about us setting up a national advocacy body. There's a huge amount of talk about us setting up these national networks, and that would just naturally stem from existing networks. So art centres that are already well established around the country that are coming from grassroots up to higher levels.
Thank you for joining us today, Marla.
That's an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Crystal.